Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back, and the phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673 nationwide. I'd like to hear if you have a question or a comment. How do you feel? What is Memorial Day? I hope that you folks know a whole lot more about Memorial Day, why we commemorate, why we celebrate, than those girls that were on the Fox News, on the Jesse Waters program. It's an amazing thing, folks. You think, could that possibly, could that really be, can they really be that dumbed down? But then you really know deep down, you know they really are. I mean, look at that. Look at those on the left. And as they interviewed some of those years, it wasn't that long ago that you would never allow these young women to be almost naked on TV. That they wouldn't have shown that on television. But today, and in some of the programs out there, the morals have so decayed. They have so decayed that some of the programs, they're using the F-bomb out there, folks. But listen, I've had today, I told a fellow, one of the fellows who was telling me about some of the things that was happening, and it was causing him to have bad dreams. Well, you know, we all have bad dreams. And I understood what he was saying, okay? But I told him, worrying about it is the worst thing you can do. To worry about it is the worst thing you can do. You don't want to worry about it because worrying can never bring any good, but it can always do a lot of harm. And so you don't need to spend any time worrying. You need to spend time running to the battle, running to the battle. And, you know, I've noticed something over the years. When you get in a battle, when you're fighting, when you're in the midst of the battle, you don't feel the blows hitting you nearly as much as if you're just sitting there and not fighting. And so, with that, I'm going to read an article here. It's called Memorial Day 2023. Will America Still Die for Freedom? Memorial Day is a day to remember what should be remembered every day. The service and the sacrifice of more than 1.3 million American veterans who have given their lives in war so that we, their posterity, might live as free Americans. But Memorial Day 2023 differs from the past Memorial Day observations. Our nation is more divided on this Memorial Day than perhaps at any time since the Civil War. Indeed, the country has been experiencing accelerated transformations from being one nation under God into a divided nation without God, resulting in seething, increasingly violent animus and mutual distrust. The original national motto, E Pluribus Unum, out of many one, is scarcely ever referenced, even as a goal, let alone as a reality. Cries of racist fill the air at any disagreement over policy and social interaction. Riots and looting and the threat thereof, forms of social extortion in the name of social justice, replace the good faith attempts to seek solutions to the common good. The goal of the original civil rights movement of a colorblind society in which all are treated equally under the law, regardless of color, has been replaced by a creed of color conscious underlying every governmental or social action. The goal of equality under the law, with all being treated equally without regard for race, has been abandoned in favor of actions being consciously based on race and racial preference in the name now of equity instead of equality, instead of equal opportunity. Treating Americans differently based upon their race is by definition racism itself. even when postured as anti-racism in search of equity, it is still nothing but raw racism. The simple undenying reality is that all racism is evil, no matter the color of the perpetrator, no matter the color of the victim. Certain truths endure and must be recognized, perhaps especially on Memorial Day. If the American people are going to continue to live in freedom, the first enduring truth of our American freedom is the freedom is not free, but it's been purchased by the blood of American patriots, over 1.3 million of whom have given their lives in defense of our freedom. We Americans of this era owe a great debt to those American patriots who came before us as veterans who gave their lives for freedom. We pay the debt to those Americans who came before us by what we are willing to do to preserve the freedom for the Americans who will come after us. Major General Patrick H. Brady, retired Medal of Honor recipient in Vietnam, is considered to be an American most decorated living veteran, America's most decorated living veteran, along with his daughter, Army veteran Megan Brady Smith. General Brady is the author of the memoir, Dead Men Flying, Victory in Vietnam, The Legend of Dust Off American Battlefield Angels. General Brady reminds us on Memorial Day, we have no titles of nobility under our Constitution. America's nobles are veterans on Memorial Day. What is most important indeed, most vital, is that we remember, honor, and are grateful for the courage, love, and service and sacrifice of America's veterans in defense of our freedom, especially with those more than 1.3 million veterans who have given their lives defending our country. They are the souls of freedom, the guardians of our Constitution, and the vault of our values of our nation. Similarly, late General Norman Storman Schwarzkopf, commander of forces in Persian Gulf War, Desert Storm, succinctly stated an enduring truth. Some things are worth living for. Some things are worth dying for. One of those things is freedom. We Americans on this Memorial Day must honor those veterans who gave their lives for our freedom, and we must ask ourselves, are we Americans still a people willing to die to preserve freedom as those 1.3 million Americans who gave their lives for us? I attach below on those who have given their lives for our freedom in all the wars, each one of the veterans and their families should be remembered and honored on this Memorial Day and every day. I want to just, before I take a call, I just want to say, the Revolutionary War, 25,324 Americans died. The War of 1812, 2,260. The Mexican War, 13,283. The Civil War, 650,000. The Spanish-American War, 7,116. World War I, 116,708. World War II, 408,206. Korean War, 38,686. The Vietnam War, 58,223. The Persian Gulf War, 363. In Iraq, 4,212. In Afghanistan, 2,215. All right, who do we have?
Deborah in Texas.
Let's go to Texas with Deborah. Hey, Deborah.
Hey, I just want to thank you so very much for what you all do. I've listened for the last couple of years, and I was raised by a Marine, a lifer. And if I ever get finished, I'm just writing a book to help people understand. Many times they sacrifice their minds. My dad ended up losing his mind with post-traumatic stress, but so many people I meet, I used to be an advisor at a community college, and I worked with veterans too, don't understand the sacrifice. They just don't understand it. So I'm doing everything I can. I volunteer with vets and the community, and I'm just trying to explain to the young people, you know, who do you know that's going to sacrifice their entire mind to keep you free? I mean, it's just, it just really makes my heart sing that you guys do what you do. I just wanted to thank you.
Well, I want to thank you, Deborah, for being such a blessing. God bless Deborah, and I hope this was a great Memorial Day for you.
It was. It sure was. Thank you so much.
And it's people like you that are a real encouragement to people like me. You know, for doing radio for 50 years, you might not believe it. There's a whole lot of people out there that want me off the air in a worse way. And it's almost like, sometimes it's almost like being under combat conditions just trying to broadcast. But it's people like you that are an encouragement to us.
Well, I'm telling all my veterans about you. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of a best kept secret. A lot of people haven't known. And I'm like, you can view it on internet. I've got the old-fashioned radio going, which I love. And I listen to you guys every night, and I just thank God for you, and I'm praying for you.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, today I was asked to come speak there at the American Legion Post 663, and we had several hundred people came out over the Newberry Memorial, Veterans Memorial Park, which was really beautiful little park, and I went over there, and it was such an honor to be able to come and to be with people, you know, that are of the same soul. You know, in other words, all of these patriotic people, I mean, you know, just unbelievable. It seems like the patriotic people are the prettiest people in the world, and in the ways, I'm talking from that beauty that comes from within. They really are. And so, and you know, they understand. And when they asked me to pray, and in that prayer, I did say that we will never, ever give in. We will never surrender. And, you know, again, one of the things, it seems like some people are oblivious. There's so many on our side that will never come right out and acknowledge the fact that it's not China or Russia or North Korea, but the Democratic Party right here in America, those that walk among us, are our worst enemies. What do you think it's going to take? What do you think it'll take to awaken people to it? I know you won't ever hear that in the mainstream media because they're a part of that enemy.
No, it's going to take a miracle, and I'll tell you what, I'm praying for it. My circle, we're just standing in agreement that it's coming. We can't waver.
All right, so, amen. We have our marching orders, don't we?
We sure do. Thank you so much, and bless all of you.
Thank you, and God bless you, and I hope you had a great Memorial Day. Oh, let's go to Claudia. How you doing, young lady?
Well, I'm blessed, Pastor Sanders. I just want to call and tell you I thank the good Lord for you and all your service on the field, on the radio. But I thank God for allowing me to know you, and I thank God for all our soldiers, our military. I just thank God that I was born an American. I was born to American parents, and it just humbles me to think that these people that have gone before me, they fought for my liberty, for our liberty, our freedoms, and it just I can't understand how somebody would want to give up what we have in this country for what we have now. I just can't believe that people are not on their knees thanking the good Lord for this country. It just breaks my heart. And that's the way, in the bottom of my heart, every cell of my being, I just thank the good Lord for what we have.
Claudia, let me ask you this. I said that I believe that all true patriotic Americans would rather die on their feet than live on their knees. And I said that church that I pastored, as I said this yesterday morning, you came to the evening service, but
correct.
Yesterday morning, as I said that, I believe that this church right here, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, and all of the folks there in, I believe that every single one of them, as I look out there, felt the very same way I did. Every single one of them, I think, would rather die on their feet than live on their knees.
I believe that thoroughly.
We will never surrender to woke, will we?
No. And I'd like to slap everybody who is woke.
Did you see, Claudia, that the chickens are returning to roost there on woke? Did you see now that Anheuser-Busch has now lost $19 billion?
Yeah, and Target.
Target now is up to $7 billion it's lost. And now the Kohl's. Kohl's now, I think, has lost $1 billion. They're just starting. And a number of the others have gone totally out of business, like Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yes.
And Burger King has closed down 400 stores. I don't know how many Wally Mart's closing down a bunch, too.
Well, that's what I heard. Yes, from you. Yes, yeah. On your program. I think it was last night I heard that.
Yeah. And all of these corporations that have gone woke.
Yes.
Now if you go woke, you go broke.
Yes, sir.
And so the chickens have come home to roost, haven't they?
I believe that. Yep. And I'm praying for God to bring about a revival, you know.
You and me both.
I stand on his blessed assurance, and that's the only thing I can stand on. Everything else, everything else is like sand. You know, it goes out, and it comes back in, and it goes out, and it comes back in. Wishy-washy.
Well, you know, God made us a promise. He made us a promise in Ecclesiastes 7:14 that if his people that are called by his name, like Christians, you know.
Yeah.
If they would repent and turn away from their wicked ways. Now, repentance is not simply saying I'm sorry, but going in the opposite direction and undoing the damage. And here, you know, God will keep that promise if people would listen. But, you know, you look at what is happening within the church, and just like I read out of over in Zechariah there, only a remnant, only a third of professing Israel were actually the sons of Abraham, not just the seed. And I believe the very same thing, like the Lord Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. I think just a very small remnant of what is the professing church in America is actually the church. And the others that are called by his name, that are called Christians, they're failing to repent. They become worldly, haven't they?
Oh, yes. My goodness sakes. Well, I don't want to keep you on the phone, but I just want to say thank the good Lord that he has brought you into our lives. And please keep on teaching and preaching, because this is what we need, every one of us.
Well, I like it when you call in.
Thank you, sir. I like it when you're on the radio.
I actually get to talk to you more when you call in than I do in church.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, you have a blessed evening, Pastor Sanders.
God bless you.
Stay healthy and safe.
And tell Chuck I said thanks for that phone call. I appreciate
it. Yes, sir. Be careful. Thank
you. You too.
God bless.
Good night. She's a sweetheart. That's my Claudia. She is a real sweetheart. And who do we have next there? Okay, now he's no sweetheart. We got Clifford, but Clifford's not.
You got that right.
Hey, Clifford.
I just want to... I have a question for you, but there's a podcast that's interesting. It's called the Corbett Report podcast. Has a whole thing on the King Charles. It's like a documentary style, but it's kind of interesting how he's catered to some of the specific odd things.
Like Islam. Like Islam.
Yeah. He has a 118-person staff catering to these odd whims. So I'd recommend that as interesting. It's the Corbett Report podcast, and he's got basically like a documentary style thing on him, King Charles. But my question is on, you know, I was listening to a commentary on Exodus, and I don't know if I agree with this. It said Moses was complaining that he was slow of speech. Now, there's another verse somewhere in those five books, I think it's Exodus, saying he was articulate. So I think he did complain when he said, you know, this is...
Now, you're talking about, in fact, if I remember right, it would be in chapter 4, Exodus 4, I think, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who hath maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thee in thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Well, yeah, he was slow, but the Lord sent Aaron with him to do most of the talking.
But I don't think he was complaining, though. I just think I wouldn't characterize what he's saying there as a complaint.
Well, read the next verse, 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? Behold, that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Now here, see, here's why the anger of the Lord was kindled. If the Lord tells you to do something, listen, okay, just go ahead and don't tell him that the reasons why you can't do it. He's not interested in knowing why you can't do anything. You know, it's like saying, I know some people, and some years ago on the radio program, when we were expanding, I had some people who had very good intentions, but they kept telling me all of the reasons why it wouldn't work. You know, this wouldn't work and this wouldn't. I said, look, I'm not interested in knowing how to fail. I can do that if I want, okay? I'm only interested in knowing how to succeed and expanding the way we're talking about. God doesn't fail at anything. He doesn't fail at anything, okay? And you remember what Einstein said about God? He said, God does not have to ever theorize. In other words, everything is what God says it'll be.
So do you think Moses was wrong in pointing out that he didn't think he was able to debate these people?
I don't want to prejudge Moses. I wouldn't know
exactly what was going through his head.
Yeah, I know God has a lot of patience with people. And remember, see, we know what Moses asks and what he said. God knows why he said it. Remember, God looks upon the heart. He knew what Moses was going to say and what he was thinking before he ever said it. And so that's the difference there, okay? So I guess that's God's call, huh?
Yeah, it is interesting that Psalm 7, which is an imprecatory prayer for the most part, where it says the Lord is angry with the wicked every day, but it also has the anger of the Lord in a couple of other verses where David's bringing that up. And then earlier in Psalm 7, he says, for the sake of the congregation, do, you know, answer my imprecatory prayer. So he's referencing that the Lord answer that prayer for the sake of the people out there.
Well, we often do that. We ask that God will answer our prayers for the sake of the innocent children, the unborn babies that are being murdered in the womb, the innocent children that are being sodomized and out there by the pedophiles. We often ask God if for the sake of the assembly, for the sake of the children, if he would remove those wicked Democrats.
Right, so that's very specific to the structure of that prayer in Psalm 7, where the congregation could be considered the innocent, I guess.
Well, I think you'd find the answer to that if you read Romans chapter 9. The Apostle Paul kind of deals with that in a way, where he said he would be willing to take the punishment and take the place of all of those of his kinsfolk who rejected the Lord, if he could, if that would keep them from going to hell.
Okay. And so for their sake, basically.
Yeah. So what does Memorial Day mean to Cliff?
I would say it means that we are kind of standing on the shoulders of other people, and I think people have been losing sight of that and taking that for granted, and that's a mistake to take anything. It's like James chapter 4, where it says, don't say I'm going to do this tomorrow, that tomorrow. If God wills, I'll do this or that. You know, I'll go into the city. So you've got to be a little bit humble. And part of that's what's lacking is people think everything that they've achieved, it's due to their own what they did, strictly. They're not looking back or forward or around. You know, it's like I'm here, and it's like a King Charles. You know, these people are living on rarefied air. So that's part of just being humble.
Right.
I think.
Well, we really do need to remember. See, our young people today, because of revisionist history, did you by chance watch that segment on Jesse Waters' show where they had...
See it. Tell me about it. Yeah.
Well, you had this guy going out on the beach there, I think it was there in Florida, and asking all of these young people, and the one girl, too, she was almost naked, okay, with their what they call bikinis nowadays, but he was asking these college kids, what is Memorial Day? And they didn't know. It's, you know, you get a day off of work. You get a day of vacation. He asked these people, "Do you know who fought in the war for independence? Who fought in the war for independence? Who did the United States fight with?" They didn't know. They didn't know. He asked the people, "What was the Cold War? Why was the cold?" And they said it was because it was fought in the wintertime. That's what these girls were saying.
You know, I thought one that was funny was this woman's on like a regular radio show, and Natalie, she's like an assistant, and they brought up J. Edgar Hoover, and she's like, "Who is that? The guy that invented the vacuum?"
Oh, brother!
I thought, but that was almost like it. She was serious, though. So that was indicative of how people should know, for better or worse, who J. Edgar Hoover was. The guy ran the FBI for almost half a century, right?
Well, let me ask you this, then I got to go to a break. But he asked the one woman, and she seemed like the smartest of all of them. Mm-hmm. And he asked her about the Civil War. Who fought in the Civil War? And her answer was countries in the North. Countries in the North fought against countries in the South. There you go. At least she came closer than any of the others.
Well, she knew she got the North-South part right, which so
yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, got to move on. Thanks, Cliff.
All right, so the key is partial credit. It's something. Okay.
All righty.
Happy holiday. Okay.
You too. Be right back after this.
If I could send a simple message to our troops at home and far away, I would make one small promise. Hear me now, this is what I'd say. You are forever heroes. We won't forget you. We know the sacrifice you've made. Forever heroes. God bless and keep you. You're the youth in the USA. Share pride and pain with you. You are like stars, shine on forever, forever red and white and blue. You are
All right, Forever Heroes. Oh, right, the phone lines are open. And what is Memorial Day mean to you folks out there tonight? Listen, I want to know this. Are you willing to make the sacrifice that the Founding Fathers and all of those have gone before us? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do for your children, their posterity and their children, are you willing to do for them what they did for you. For real. And I mean for real. 888-677-9673. Do you think patriotism in America is dead? Do you think it's gone? Do you think that it's too late for America? 888-677-9673. Do you think that we're going to have a revival? I'm seeing some signs of it, folks, out there today. I'm seeing some signs that, and I know I've been contacted by so many people, and I'm seeing some of the pastors are awakening. They're awakening now. So, I want to hear from you. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Are you willing to stand up? Are you willing to fight? Are you willing to take America back the way God gave us? Think about this. I want you all to think about this. You're listening to me there in this country. You have been blessed above measure to be born in the greatest and the freest country that ever existed. The envy of all the world. Now, because of that, it's because there were those that went before you that were willing to sacrifice whatever it took to keep that freedom. I want you to think about it, because people often say, when they see tyrants in some of these other countries where the people are continuously oppressed, and they say, why won't the people rise up? Why don't the people rise up? Well, there are those people that have spent their whole lives never knowing freedom. Never knowing freedom. And they didn't know what freedom was like. They didn't know what it existed. I know for us here in America, for at least the patriots, they know what freedom is. They've lived with it. And they're not willing to have it taken away from them without a fight. And when I tell you, folks, let me tell you, on these college campuses where they want it, where they don't want any patriot, any Christian patriots to have any voice at all. This is pure hardcore Marxism. And you should not give one red cent to any of these Marxist college campuses. Not a red cent. And so, in fact, there are more and more Christian schools that are opening, Christian colleges, and that's where you'd want to send your children out there today. But folks, more than that, even, you know, we have too many people, and besides that, these, you know, Harvard and Yale and Princeton, they are not higher education anymore, learning. They have simply become, again, nothing but hotspots for cultural Marxism. And I want to just ask you to think about some of the really, really, really stupid things that are coming out of these colleges. I want you to think about that. I mean, think about how it used to be. Why, you could be as dumb as a rock on the cheap, as it was said. It wouldn't cost you much. But today, to be dumbed down, to where you could get a place in Congress or, you know, in the government, if you go to Harvard, if you go to Yale Law School, if you wanted to become as crooked gets, that's what they have become. They've become as Martin Luther said they would. Great gates of hell. He was right on that. And so, wait a minute. Am I the only one that's got an opinion? Who do we have?
We got a Betty in Pennsylvania.
Let's go to out in Pennsylvania with Betty. Hey, Betty.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. So I have some responses. They may not be, real positive, but, I don't feel very hopeful about this present day, country. I can't say it. I find it very sad, but I do pray a lot for the country, for my family that are unsaved, and I just try to keep the faith that way. I have a firm belief in our triune God, and I'm very, very fortunate to have been blessed with being saved. Just real fortunate. So I'm hoping to continue to do his will, and that's how I live.
You just keep up and look, to whom much is given, much is required. You've been given much, and so it works this way. God has expectations of us, and we have obligations to him, and our job right now, we have to, it'll be up to God. He said he would bring the victory. That part's up to him, but we have to get out and fight the fight, and that's what our job is to do. So, and of course, remember, there were three missions. That very first mission, what you just mentioned, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and that's the Great Commission, Mission 1. And then all the way from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny, resistance to the woke movement, resistance to the Democratic Party, is obedience to God. And then he tells us what... In 2 Thessalonians, we have to stand fast, hold to the traditions of the prophets, and not give up any ground. So those are our three missions. Are you ready to do it?
Yeah, I've been working on it. I am a registered nurse, and I love working with families at the end of the patient's life. So I'm at the tail end, trying to offer, Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, and do what I can.
You can't do anything greater than that.
I don't think so. I'm blessed with that craft and that skill to work with hospice families. So I'm working on it.
did you have a good Memorial Day?
I did. We all got together at Calvary Chapel of Marlton at this lovely family's home and spoke to each other about Jesus Christ and talked to each other about our testimonies and went swimming and ate great food, and we were really blessed. So, it was great. How about you?
Yeah, I was blessed. I was able to go out and speak to the Patriots twice today, lead them in prayer for our nation.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And when I got home, my missus had made me a great big nice steak.
Oh, and nice.
So everything worked pretty good today. And the weather here has been just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, us too, yeah. Where are you from?
I'm up here in Ohio. We're in Northeast Ohio, not too far from the Pennsylvania border.
Oh, okay. That's great. I'm in Jenkintown, PA.
Oh yeah.
So, and I went to New Jersey today. So that's my favorite stomping ground. But the veterans are brave, brave people, and I don't think people in our country are made that way anymore. Really, not the majority.
I hear you. I got to move on. We have other callers, but God bless you. Okay, and who do we have next?
Norman, please.
Let's go to Norman. Hey, Norman.
Norma.
Hey, Norma.
Hello, yes, I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Good. Thank you. Nice to talk to you. I have two things to say tonight. Number one, I never imagined that as I got older that I would be wearing the cloak of poverty, having to give rolls of pennies to church. And I always feel terrible that I can never send you any money during Pledge Week. And I always get very teary-eyed to those of the folks that give to your program, which I listen to every night. And I just wanted to take this time to thank them. It's been a comfort and a joy to me, their sacrifice, of their financial sacrifice. So I wanted to take this time to thank them. The other thing was, my father was a World War II veteran, since gone to be with the Lord. And he always spoke of when he left for Europe to fight. It was Christmas Eve, and he said he was on the big ship, and it was pulling out of New York Harbor, and he saw the snow flying, and he saw America, and he just thought what a wonderful country he came from, and that he wanted to go and fight for her, and that he didn't know if he'd ever get back on American soil again. And I guess one thing about it is, in the Bible, the Tower of Babel, how God confused all the people in all of the different languages, and it seems like that's what we have now. And I don't know, the people coming into the country, they need to become American. These young people that don't know about America, about our history, and what my father left New York Harbor for, I want them to know about it, and that's all I have to say.
Well, you said it very, very well, and remember what the Lord said, blessed are the poor. And you know what? Sometimes he allows people to be poor to give those around them the opportunity to bless them financially and help them out. And I know if you were here in our area, that's exactly what our church would do with you, because that's the kind of a church.
Well, I've been looking for employment for a long time, Pastor Ernie, and I keep telling my family, I said, why isn't the Lord sending me a blessing? He's not sending me a blessing. And sometimes I don't understand why I can't find work. I've always worked since I've been 12 years old. And
well,
he won't send me anything.
Up here where we're at, there's
anyway,
all kinds of job offerings. But alrighty. Well, God bless you. Thank you again. And who do we have next? Well, how much time? Okay, let's go to Bob in New York. This will have to be the last call. Hey, Bob.
Pastor Ernie.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. Happy Memorial Day.
Can you hear me all right?
Pardon?
Can you hear me all right?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you fine.
Great, great. You know, Pastor Ernie, I really thank our Heavenly Father for you and people like you. You're one of the watchmen on the wall. And it's such a pleasure and even an honor to talk with you on the phone like this. And, you know, like, I'll tell you something. I make it a point to put out different historical American flags for not only for the Memorial Day, but all the different holidays of America and everything like that. You know, like with Memorial Day, you know, like my mother, a lot of her brothers were in the war during the Second World War. One uncle was in the Navy, one was in the Army, and one uncle, I never even knew him. His name was John Kerbacher. He was a gunner on a B-17, and his plane was shot down over the Adriatic Sea back in June of 1944. And he was, to this day, we don't know, nobody knows whatever happened to him. He was reported missing in action. And I have this photograph of him that was in my grandmother's house for many years, but my mother got it when my grandmother died, and it's now sitting on the mantelpiece in my living room. And, you know, I make it a point to try to honor our veterans, and I thank you for your service to our country. I think you're a veteran, am I correct?
Yep, mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. So thank you, and you know, it's funny. You were talking about, I think it's Jesse Waters you're talking about. You know, there's that old joke. When was the War of 1812? I once asked that question in a half joking way to somebody, and the guy was like, "I heard cricket." I'm like, it's a joke. It's like the War of 1812. The answer is in the question. You know,
it's amazing, isn't it? These kids, they're walking around. You know, where's their mind? It's unbelievable.
It's like what God's word says. They're giving over to reprobate mind. You know, it's really a shame.
Amen.
I know we're running out of time here, but there's one flag I always fly. It's from the War of 1812. It's known as the Commodore Perry flag, and it's that famous one. It's the motto of the American Navy: "Don't give up the ship." Right, and that's what really we Christian Americans have to do. We can't give up yet. You know, the late great Yogi Berra once said, "It ain't over till it's over." So
I hear you.
This country. There's still hope for this country.
We say here, it's not over with till we win. It's not over with till we win. We got to go because we are out of time for tonight. But thanks and God bless. And folks out there listening, you know, look, God's on the throne. He's in complete control. Everything that's happening right now, we are living in what the Bible calls the time of sorrows. For those of us that understand, that are cognizant and aware of our surroundings and the days that we're living in, we know that the Lord's return is not only imminent, but it could be very, very close. You know, when I look and I see what happened, God's immutable. He does things the same way all the time. And when we look back in the days of Noah, when the fallen angels that had taken women were trying to change the DNA in human beings. They were trying to make them other than, you know, not just human, less than human or more than human, whatever. Exactly what's happening today. And in that day, God, you know, in his judgment, he took 8 billion people off the face of the earth. And that's about what we're at now, today. And folks, again, you have people that are continuing to do exactly, you know, what God has warned them about doing. And we see the Tower of Babel out there. We what happened then, and we look at what's taking place here in America today, folks. Anyhow, we're out of time, and if you're listening to me and you have not called upon the name of the Lord, you're running out of time to do it tonight. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of your sin, ask the Lord Jesus to be Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. Folks, do it tonight. Well, until tomorrow, we want to say good night. We want to say God bless. And we want to say always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Let's see, you've applied for our open position for account representative?
Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschatz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at redballoon.work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.